how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, I heard about a healing, His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Now sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. You may be seated. Come on up, choir.
I'm
This good house, good amount of folks this morning in the house of the Lord. We're going to be taking up our offering in just a second, but before we do, I just want to mention a couple of things. Don't forget the May 7th Rotary Park. We'll have our celebration Sunday, May 7th, Rotary Park. So put that down and don't forget that. That's a service here that morning. We'll go to the park that afternoon, and we won't have a service that evening, but we'll enjoy each other most of the day. That'll be a good day for us. Remember our pastor, he's away right now, but he'll be back hopefully by tomorrow sometime. Remember him as he travels. Brother Nick's going to bring us the Word of God here in just a minute. We're looking forward to that. And it's good to see. If you are visiting this morning, please fill out a visitor's card, and if you could put that in the offering plate as it's passed, we'll recognize you this morning. And my friend Rhonda, she was here, but I don't see her now. I think it got so cold in here. Oh, there she is. She moved on me. Don't you be moving on me, girl. That's not good. That messes me up when you move on me. But God is good. We did take some of our teens last night up to the Tim Tebow Freedom Hall deal, and that was very good. It was enjoyable to hear him. He did a wonderful job speaking. And the kids had a good time. So, and I think some of our church went to Lamplight Theater and enjoyed that yesterday. So, understand that was a good day. Yeah. And me and Nick, we worked yesterday morning, didn't we, brother? We tore an old playground out here. We're getting ready for a new one. We got a lot of young kids coming on, so they need a new playground to play on. That's gonna be a good time for them. Let's have our ushers come. We'll take up our morning offering. Thank you, Chris. Anthony, will you bless this offering? All right. Robin Moore. Robin, visiting with us today. Robin, we're glad to have you. You make yourself at home and just enjoy the presence of God this morning. And then there's Rhonda. This must be our day. Mott Singer. Now Rhonda's not really a visitor. She was with us many years ago. Matter of fact, she was my motorcycle riding buddy. We rode motorcycles a lot. Now, she gave me the sad news that she had to sell hers, and I'm close. Haven't quite done it just yet. Just need to get on it a little more. I think that was experiment. No, that's exactly right. We are glad to have her today with us. And Ron, make yourself at home, honey. It's God's house. We just, Sunday is not what you come to get. Sunday is what you come to give. See, because God has already blessed us through last week. And He gave us blessings every day of our life. He woke us up every day. We were able to go to work, make a living. He fed us in the afternoon. Gave us a nice bed to lay in. Come on, church, am I talking now? This is just everyday stuff that we just take for granted. We just think, oh, boy, that just happens. No, that just don't happen, folks. We've got homeless people all over Johnson City. God is so good in our lives. Let's wake up each morning and just give Him the glory that He deserves. He is so richly deserving. We celebrated Easter last Sunday, and I never, ever want to forget that every Sunday. What God did for me. But we are to have Easter every Sunday. Because what He did never changes. He's awesome. Make yourself at home today, Jesse. You come on and share a song with us again.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood of loves, where my heart beats. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Beautiful, beautiful job, Jesse. Beautiful song. And I'll tell you right now, it takes the presence of God for us to have church. It takes the presence of God for us to live a Christian life. I don't know about you, but I ain't good enough to live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. I ain't good enough to live a Christian life without God. I'm not good enough to live a Christian life without the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus lives inside of us. God is living inside of us. The Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And that gives us all the capability to live a Christian life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we live it for. We don't live it for ourselves. We don't live it for one another. But praise God, we live for Jesus, for Jesus. And that's the best reason that you can live for Jesus. Great to be out to God's house. Good to see this crowd out. Good to see a bunch of teenagers back there and little kids and things like that. I love kids. That's why I went in to teaching. And I've been teaching for 11 years now. And I still love kids. So they've not wore me out yet. But we may be getting close to that, okay? But it is good to be here. Good to have a lot of family here. And Logan and Riley sitting right here behind Tom. I want everybody to look at Logan and Riley. I got mad at them last Sunday because they were here, and they filled out one of them cards, Logan and Riley Archer from Elizabethan, Tennessee, Stony Creek, Tennessee, and all that stuff. But they left somebody off. They are going to be having a baby. Riley, how many months pregnant are you?
5 months.
5 months pregnant. It's a boy, and his name is going to be Stetson Edward Archer. So give them a big hand as they get ready to expect a new baby. Yeah, but I remember the service. I turned around and told Riley, I said, you left somebody off the card. You should have put Stetson on there. So we're definitely excited about him. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, and we definitely want to be praying for our pastor, Dan, as he's traveling back from Nashville either today or tomorrow. Him and Susie went down there for a wedding. So let's definitely be praying for him, that they had a nice relaxing time, had a good time with Susie's family down there and their journeys back home, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, and I got this. Me and my family, we were actually at Logan and Riley's gender reveal party, or not their gender reveal party, but Stetson's gender reveal party. In the day and the time we're living in, they got gender reveals for all kinds of ages, don't they? But that's sad, ain't it? But Stetson's gender reveal party, and they had a little creek there, a little brook, a little stream right beside the patio area that they had rented out. And my girls liked to go down there and throw rocks in the water, and Canaan went down there and threw rocks in the water, and A lot of the other kids went down there, and Winston went down there and threw some rocks in the water as well. So as I was down there watching them throw rocks in the water, God brought this scripture to my heart and to my mind. So I tell you right now, God's in everything. He can be in watching your little kids throw rocks in a stream. So this is where this come from this morning. God used them to lay this message on my heart and on my mind. And I hope you're not here to listen to me this morning, because you are going to leave tremendously disappointed. This is all the good Lord this morning, okay? So I just hope God removes me totally, that I allow Him to remove me totally. And what we say is directly what God wants us to say. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40. And the Bible says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook." Now I'm going to read that part again, because that is the foundation of this whole message this morning. "And chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Anthony, I'm going to ask you to pray for me this morning, okay? Amen. Thank you, Anthony, for that prayer this morning. Now, before we get into this, I want to give you a little bit of background, but one thing I've noticed being a teacher is kids have forgot how to play outside. They're used to a phone. They're used to a tablet, a laptop, something. And I see some kids getting some looks right now from some parents and grandparents, okay? But kids have forgotten how to play outside. I can remember when I taught to first grade, and I don't know why in the world they ever possessed anybody to let me teach first grade, but I can remember teaching first grade, and we'd go outside, and the kids, you know, they just stare around and look at each other. And I was like, Lord, please let one pick up a rock and throw it. Lord, please let one pick up a stick and throw it, whack it over somebody's head or something. I mean, you know, just play, boy, be a boy, get outside in nature and enjoy it and things like that. And that's something that doesn't exist a whole lot anymore. But how many of you, when you went to a creek or you went to the lake or a stream or something like that, you would find a rock and you would try to skip it in the water? How many people have tried to do that before? Okay, so 90% of the hands in the house went up. That's good. Now, when you bent down to get a rock, you just didn't get any old rock. You looked for a rock that was what? Smooth. Flat. You looked for a smooth, flat rock. Now, you can try to skip a rock with some rough edges on it like that, corners on it, sharpness and all that stuff, and you may be successful at it, but I'm not even good at skipping a rock that's flat this morning, okay? But typically, when you are trying to skip a rock, you want it to be flat. You want it to be smooth. That way, when it hits the water, there's nothing that's going to affect it skipping through that water. So that gets us to the thought this morning of the five smooth stones that David chose out of the brook. Listen, God had five smooth stones put in here for a reason. It doesn't say five stones. It doesn't say five sharp stones. The Bible doesn't say five heavy stones. It says five smooth stones. So if God had enough knowledge and God had enough foresight in His Word, and that's whose word it is this morning, it's not my word. It's not the world's word. The world likes to take it and turn it into whatever they want to, but listen, it's not theirs to change. It's not a preacher's to change. It's not a church's to change. It's not a Christian's to change. It's not a lost person's to change. It's God's word. He owns it. He is the owner of this book. His Son purchased it with His blood, praise God. And nobody, people can change it all they want to, and they can think in their minds that they're changing it, but they ain't changing one thing about it because they're not the author of it this morning. So God, with very specific intent, had five smooth stones put in the Scripture here, and we're going to share what God shared with me as to why He said the five smooth stones. Well, first of all, we got to look that these stones were in a brook. They wasn't laying in the dirt somewhere. They weren't laying on a hillside somewhere. They weren't on a mountaintop somewhere or anything like that. David did not have to dig them out of the ground or anything like that, but they were in a brook. Now, what is a brook? A brook is a small stream. Now, we all know this morning that a small stream will have water running through it, just like when we were at that Eastman Park a few weekends back for I've already forgot his name. Stetson's gender reveal. Yeah, Stetson's gender reveal. There was a little brook there. And you walked down in that little brook, and there was all kinds of smooth stones that were laying down in that brook. And in that brook, there was water flowing. Now, that is very significant this morning. You might be saying, well, preacher, what does a brook have to do with me and my relationship with God? If I'm lost this morning, what does a brook have to do with me and my relationship with God? What does five smooth rocks have to do with me and God this morning? Well, we're going to get into that, but we'll find in a brook it is a small stream, which means that there is water running through it. Now, I don't know if you know this or not this morning, but water is a very significant symbol in God's holy word. Water is a very powerful thing in God's holy word. We can find in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There was water before there was light. Before God created light, there was water. Before God created land, before God created grass, before God created the fruit, the moon, the stars, the sun, the creatures, Adam and Eve, before all of this beautiful creation that God had created, that we all enjoyed, there was water before any of that. Now why? It's because without water, there is no life this morning. They're talking about a big drought that's going on out in California and things like that. And I want to say this about that. And this, I don't get into politics, but I also believe that God is in control of everything. And we know that California is, and I'm just going to tell it like it is one of the most godless states in our union. With the laws that they pass that go against God and things like that, I'm not surprised that there's a drought going on out there. Why? Because God is in charge. God can use that drought to open people's eyes, and I hope He does, and I hope there's a great revival that breaks out there and people get saved and things like that. But listen, God controls nature. God controls the elements, and I'll get on this too. People like to talk about global warming. I'm going to tell you something right now. It don't matter what we do. If God wants the earth to get 5 degrees hotter, it's going to get 5 degrees hotter. If God wants the earth to be 20 degrees colder, it's going to be 20 degrees colder. I don't care how much you recycle. I don't care how much of this and that you do. Greenhouse, nothing wrong with any of that stuff. I don't think we should pollute or do any of that. I don't think we should do anything to harm the environment because God created it. But at the end of the day, God is in charge of how hot the earth gets. Doesn't matter what anybody tries to say. It doesn't matter what anybody tries to do. But water is a sign of life. Fish can't live in a brook if there's no water. You and I can't live if we can't get something to drink. People out in the desert back before there was cars and airplanes and all that stuff and they would travel on camel. Why would they travel on camel? For water and things like that. So that they would be able to have something to drink. And that reminds me of a story in God's holy word, and I can't remember the people's names in it and things like that. I know Tom Camp, but there was a time in God's holy word that somebody got saved, and when they were journeying through the desert, he wanted to get baptized right then and there, and right in the middle of the desert, God allowed for a pond of water to show up. Are you not thankful for the deserts in our life? When we're going through a dry and barren and desert land, praise God, God puts a little pond there of water, praise God, so that we can get a refreshing drink to refresh us and renew us and restore us so that we can keep marching on for the Lord Jesus Christ. How thankful that we can be for that. What does the Bible say about water? It says in John 7:37 and verse 38, if any man thirst, let him come into me and drink. Who is the me there? That is Jesus. He that believeth on me, that's Jesus. As the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Jesus is that fountain this morning. Jesus is the fountain of living waters. And if you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to have an opportunity this morning to take a trip to the brook. You're going to have an opportunity to walk down to the stream. You're going to have an opportunity to walk down there and get you a drink. Not a drink of a water that you drink out of a cup, but praise God to get a drink of the fountain that is the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. And when you take a drink of that, what happens? We can find this with the woman at the well. She was living in sin. Listen, if you're living in sin this morning, when you commit a sin, it might satisfy you for a little while, but before you know it, you're thirsty again. Before you know it, you're hungry again. You keep wanting more, and you keep wanting more. You keep wanting more. You say, well, I'll just do this one time, and I won't do it again. Well, that's not how sin works. The devil did not intend for sin to work that way. Sin makes you thirsty. But praise God, where sin makes us thirsty, Jesus Christ can quench that thirst this morning. What is it they say about Gatorade, the original thirst quencher and things like that? These football players will drink Gatorade. Basketball players will drink Gatorade. Track stars you see on TV, they've got all these commercials for Gatorade and things like that. Well, praise God, if you're thirsty this morning, come and get you a big drink of Gatorade, the fountain of living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ. The original thirst quencher, praise God. Thank God for it. But it tells us in John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Praise God when you get saved. Hallelujah. That's it. It's done. Praise God. You're never going to thirst again. Now you're going to fail God. And you're going to be times that you need to repent. There's going to be times you need to ask for forgiveness and things like that. There'll be times that you may be living in a backslidden state. But I'll tell you right now, once you take that drink of water, you'll know when you're in a backslidden state. You'll know when you failed God, praise God. That's what it means, that you shall never have a thirst again. When you have a drink of the fountain of living waters that comes from Jesus, there ain't nothing the world has to offer that tastes as good as that. And when you've had a drink of that, praise God, you don't want a drink of anything else. I shall give him, shall be him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God this morning. If you've had a drink of the fountain of living waters, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a guarantee that I love guarantees. I love when you can buy a playground set and it comes with a 20-year guarantee. I love when you buy a car and it might have a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty on it. I love when you buy tires and they say, well, if anything happens before you get 75,000 miles on this tire, we'll replace it for free. I love guarantees. But I tell you right now, God's Word is full of guarantees that come directly from God. And God makes a guarantee right here, springing up into everlasting life. You don't have to worry about dying. You don't have to worry about getting cancer or anything like that. You don't have to worry about going out the road out here and maybe getting in a car wreck or anything like that. You don't have to worry about if some type of tragedy happens in your life. Why? Because you've got everlasting life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for it. So what was important about this brook? Say, well, I thought we was going to talk about five smooth stones. Why are you talking about the brook? Well, we're going to get into that right now. The longer the rocks are in the brook, this is a little science lesson for you. I teach science too. I'm a utility guy. I teach everything. Besides home ec, I don't do home ec, okay? Do they even have home ec anymore? Who's in high school here? They have home ec? Do you boys take home ec back there? Okay, all right. You ought to. It'd be good if you learned how to cook or something like that for your family. It'd be good, all right? Okay. Science. Erosion. Anybody know what erosion means? Yeah, exactly. Wears off, goes away. You know, the longer a rock spins in the brook, the longer a rock spends time in the water, that water goes over it and over it and over it for years and years and years and years. And you know what happens to that rock? The sharpness erodes and it gets smoother. Man alive, that's a powerful illustration. Do you realize this morning that the more time that we spend in the brook, the smoother our lives are going to be? Amen. If you're here this morning and life's rough, or if you're here this morning and you've got all kinds of sharp edges on your life and things like that, I want to ask you a question. How much time have you spent in the brook? How much time have you spent with Jesus? Because I want to tell you something right now. If you spend enough time with Jesus, if your life's rough, that roughness can only last so long in the presence of God. That sharpness that's in your life can only last so long that's in the presence of God, praise God. But erosion, water running over these rocks, years and years and years, and who knows how long these five smooth stones had been in this brook. I have no idea. The Bible doesn't tell us. It could have been there 100 years, 200 years, 5,000 years. I have no idea how long these five smooth stones were in the brook, but the Bible tells us that they were in the brook. He didn't pick them off the bank. He picked them out of the brook. The longer we are in the brook, the smoother we will get. If you want to live a smooth life for the Lord Jesus Christ, now that doesn't mean it's going to be 100%, everything's A-OK and things like that. I've heard people say before, if you give your heart and life to Jesus, everything in your life, you won't experience a heartache, a trouble, a care, a burden, or anything like that. Well, that's false. We are. And you might find you might experience more because the devil's fighting you then when you're saved. Devil ain't fighting you hard when you lost because you lost. But when you get saved, the devil's going to be on you like white on rice. He is. But man alive, sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes we go out and do things we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't say, act the way that we shouldn't act. Sometimes we sin even after we save. We will sin after we get saved. We will. We're human. But praise God, are you not glad when that rough sin comes up in our life, we can go down to the brook and Jesus smooths it all out. Erodes it from our life, thank God. Thank God for that. The more time we spend with Jesus, The rough and sharp places in our life will erode away. What does John 2:6 say? He says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked." So in other words this morning, we just don't say that we're Christians. We just don't say that we're saved. But praise God, somebody should be able to look at us that's lost and say, "Hey, you know what? They walk with God. They've spent time in the brook." They should see that every single day of our lives. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Enoch had such a great relationship with God that Enoch didn't even die. He was so close to God, he spent so much time in the brook, praise God, that God just called him home. Didn't even die. The Bible says that God put a hedge around Job. Now, Job probably lived one of the worst lives, not him living life bad, but terrible things happened to him. All of his kids died. He lost all of his wealth. You'll even find scripture in God's holy word that Job's friends come around to comfort him, and then his friends turn on him and say, "Job, if you wouldn't have sinned, none of these terrible things would have happened to you." Then Job looked at his friends and said, "Miserable comforters are ye all." Job's own wife turned his back on him. Job had nobody. Wrong. Job had God. God put a head around Job, so even through it all, even through all the trial, even through all the tribulation, even through all the heartache that Job was going through, God put a hedge around Job. Job did not lose his faith in God, and you will find at the end of the book of Job, he restores unto him 7 more children, and you'll find that his wealth doubled. Praise God. Why? Because he stayed in the brook. Hallelujah. Stay in the brook and see what God will do in your life. Stay in the brook and see what Jesus will do in your life. Stay in the brook, praise God, and see what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. It may seem like you've got nothing now, but I can assure you as a child of God, henceforth for you lay up a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Stay in the brook. This might be a two-parter. I don't want to keep you here too long. Oh, what else about these rocks being in the brook? Now, we've not even got to why it's important that they're smooth. But what was another reason that it's important that they're in the brook? Another science lesson for you, okay? The longer the rocks are in the brook, the more the rocks rub against each other. You might say, well, why is that important? Erosion, again. The stream water in the brook moves these rocks, moves these tiny pebbles. And what happens? These rocks will begin to rub against one another. And what happens as they rub against one another? Erosion. They get smoother. You might say, well, how does that translate to me being a better Christian, to me knowing Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and to me living for God? Well, I'm not going to tell you. God's going to tell you. As the rocks rub against one another, they erode and they become smoother. When we are in the brook with other rock. Now who's the other rock? That's you and I. When we are in the brook with other rock, we're going to run into each other from time to time. I don't know about you all, but I love running into each other at church. I'm glad I run into you all at church. Now I live 30 minutes from here. I live up Stony Creek, so chances are I'm only going to see most of you people is at church. I love running into you at church. But what's so significant about that? I'm just going to point out some people for an example right here. Well, if me and Anthony spend time together in the brook, we're going to rub some of them rough edges off because we're going to pass by one another. If me and Tom spend time together in God's house, you know what's happening? We're just like them rock in that brook that water's pushing downstream and them rocks hit one another. We're just passing by just like that. And what happens? We're smoothing each other out. Me and Les taking down this playground out here, and was his name Mackie, Les? Mac? 84-year-old using a chainsaw. That's awesome. I hope I'm 84 and using a chainsaw. Well, now you might not want that, but I hope I'm 84 and using a chainsaw. I got to tell a story about that real quick, and I promise. I have an ADHD mind. We'll go everywhere, but we'll promise we'll get back on track. We were taking that playground set yesterday, and Les, I've got a confession. Me and Les took some stuff to the dump. Got done, his chainsaw was missing. Unless I must confess, I knew it was here the whole time, but I didn't want to tell you. I want you to be a little bit worried, okay? We had thought for about 5 seconds that we had thrown Les's chainsaw in the dump at the dumpster. But we got back here and it was laying back here. Les, I knew that the whole time. I just wanted to, I got a good laugh out of that, okay? You ain't going to ask me to help you again, are you? But something like that. We wasn't in here worshiping. We just out there doing the Lord's work. We passed by each one another, rubbing rough places off. Come over here and eat breakfast in the morning, which we're going to do again, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, I believe. Is that right? Okay. Not this coming up Sunday, but the next Sunday after that. Come over and eat breakfast and fellowship. You know what's going to happen? You're going to spend some time in the brook with your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may not even know it, but you're going to be rubbing them rough edges off each other because you're spending time together. That's why it's so important that we spend time not only in God's house, that's great, but also fellowshipping outside of God's house. I'm thrilled to know the teens went and heard Tim Tebow last night. You know what they did? They rubbed by one another, rubbing them rough places off their life. The kids down in the nursery right now, you say, well, they're in the nursery, Nick. They don't know. You tell Ellie and Addie Kalbach that we ain't coming to church, it's going to be like Iwo Jima. It's going to be awful. Crying. Throwing a fit. Awful. Them little kids down there in that nursery is rubbing off on each other. How precious that it is. Men's meat, women's meat, you're rubbing off on one another. Thank God for it. Just like these rocks do in the brook when they pass by. So when we rub off one another, we become smoother. That's why, now notice I said we rub off one another. Christian rubbing off on Christian. Unfortunately, we live in a day and a time today where Christians will go out in the world and they will let the sinner rub off on them. Listen. When we go out in the world, the Christians shouldn't be rubbing off on us. If we ain't going to laugh at a joke in God's house, I shouldn't laugh at it at Carter County Online Academy in Hampton. If I ain't going to say it in God's house, I shouldn't say it in Carter County Online Academy up in Hampton. Do you get what I'm saying? If I'm not going to say it when I go to Freedom Hall to listen to Tim Tebow, then bless God, I shouldn't say it when I'm wandering the halls at my school. I shouldn't. Praise God. Let's not let the world rub off on us, but let's rub off on the world. I hope I'm contagious. I hope you're contagious. I hope the lost and dying world catches what we got. The smoother the sword, the sharper and easier it cuts. I'll get to that in a minute. I have an illustration. I love illustrations. What does Proverbs 27:17 say? Iron sharpeth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Surround yourself with somebody that's going to sharpen you up, not pull you down. I can just imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The only three people when King Nebuchadnezzar had all them instruments play, the only three people that didn't bow down was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, bless God, they was rubbing off on one another. And hallelujah, when they got thrown into the fire, they were rubbing off on each other so good that Jesus appeared in the flames with them. Hallelujah. Praise God, rub off on one another. Let me grab this. Don't be scared. I couldn't use it if I tried. It's funny, if anybody ever breaks into our house, Lene's going to be the one shooting, not me. I want you to notice this sword. Notice the blade. It's smooth. It's not rough. Notice the edges. It's smooth. Why? It makes it sharp. There's a verse in the Bible. Do you know that there's another word for the Bible? What's the Bible called in God's holy word? It's also the what? It's also the sword. It tells us here, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. People will say, well, preacher, that sounds rough. Comparing the Bible to a sword? No. The Bible's the smoothest book there is. Because this sword will erode the rough places off your life and off of your heart so that you can live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the brook is where the water is. It's refreshing. Without water, no life exists. Jesus Christ is that living water. We know that the longer that we spend time in the brook, the smoother that we will get. Praise God, the more time we spend with Jesus, the smoother that we will get. And we also know this morning that, praise God, we can rub off one another and our life can be a lot smoother. I'm going to ask Les, if you don't come, and Becky, I got your name right, Becky. Becky, come up this morning. We'll sing a verse of something and they'll play a song. I'm going to ask everybody to stand to your feet. We'll get into why the rocks are smooth tonight, okay? God's saying something now, so I'm going to stop now. But before we sing at this morning, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. You don't have to answer them out loud. This is just between you and God. How much time as a Christian are you spending in the brook? How much time are you spending with Jesus? You're saved, but how much time are you spending with Jesus? How much time are you praying? How much time are you talking to God? How much time are you spending in God's house? Those are the results of how much time we spend in the brook. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but you say, God, I want to spend more time in the brook, you can come down and talk to God about that this morning. If you're here and you're lost this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I got news for you. You've never been to the brook. But I've also got good news for you this morning. The brook's not closed. It's open. Today is the day of salvation. You can become saved this morning. Now, I want to tell you this. When you get saved, you're not going to understand everything and you're not going to get everything. But praise God, that's what the church is for. It'll help you reach that point. You may be here and you're saved this morning and you say, Preacher, I just want to rub up against a brother or sister. I just want a brother or sister to pray with me. I want a brother and sister to talk to me. I need to spend some time with a brother and sister this morning so my life can become a little bit smoother, just like the rock do in the brook. You can do that this morning. I assure you, somebody will come down and pray with you. You may be here this morning and you're lost and you think nobody loves you. You think nobody cares about you. The devil's got you tricked. The devil's got you fooled to say, man alive, you've lived such a terrible life. There ain't nobody going to want to pray with you. Jesus saw who you are. Jesus knows everything you've committed. Yet He died for you so that you could come in the brook and join Him this morning. And I can assure you this morning, there ain't nobody here thinks anything evil or ill towards you. Everybody here that's saved this morning all wants one thing. For a lost soul to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's all I'm going to say. As God speaks to you this morning, you have a need, you come on down to the altar and let God take care of that. Go ahead, Les. Thank you, Les, for that song this morning. Don't forget about our services tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. And don't forget about Bible study on Wednesday night, okay? I am going to ask Eddie Archer, good friend of mine, family, Linda's brother. That's about all I can tell you about him, okay? Eddie, go ahead and dismiss us in prayer.